Don't forget what I said earlier. Now, in the realm of wisdom, before the days of Jesus, Solomon manifested something that was outstanding, one of its kind. I dare to say that was equality with God in that area. Now, you look at people like David. I can't say much about his capabilities as a warrior, all right, for certain reasons. But you see that his ability to wage war, all right, was divinely inspired. Let me put it like that. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, you discover that different people had the abilities to do different things. Which leader did you have like Moses? Like somebody said, God had to hide his body. Otherwise, you know those Jews, they're just coming from Egypt. They knew how to embalm. They will embalm him. Worship will begin. They will have gone to worship the guy. You understand what I'm trying to say? Which leader did you have like Moses? There are different areas of life. When it was time to design the tabernacle, alright, God called a man, Bezalel, and told Moses, I've filled him with the spirit of the craftsman. I've given him the wisdom, the ability to make all kinds of things. Do you get my point? That is, God endowed him to manifest in a particular area. I'm coming to something now. Joseph. You know why Joseph became the ruler in Egypt? It was not because he interpreted a dream. You know that. It was because he proffered a solution to the problem he discovered through interpretation of dreams. Please, I hope you are getting my point. And what did Pharaoh say concerning him? He said, can we find a man as wise and as discreet, as discerning as this one is? Now listen to the next word. He said, because you can see that in him dwell the spirit of the gods. Please, I'm trying to bring out something. Let's get down to Daniel. When difficult problems came up, the king's mother called him and said, look, there's a man in your kingdom. His name is Daniel. He said, illumination, insight, understanding, the ability to solve difficult problems was found in this Daniel. Now, listen to this. Imagine that Joseph was a businessman in Nigeria of today. Are you following me? Imagine that Daniel became the president of Nigeria. Are you with me? Imagine that this man went into a certain area. Let's assume, for example, Bezalel. All right? He decided to open a company that manufactured... He became an architect. That's a very good one. The kind of wisdom, all right, that they would display in the things that they are doing, people will indeed come and say, come. Look, that guy is not normal. There is a spirit that is working with him that is not found in the rest of us. I'm saying something here. We're talking about equality with God. Is that okay? But Jesus functioned not as a carpenter. There's no record of one table he made. Yeah. He must have worked with his father, at his foster father, Joseph. But the manifestation of his life was not in carpentry. He came out functioning in the typical way of an Old Testament prophet. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, he went out into what you and I would call these days ministry. So the manifestations in his life, all right, were generally around ministry matters. So you hear all the testimonies about when he's preaching, has begun to minister to the sick, you know, lay hands on the sick, he raised the dead. You know, you hear all those kind of things that seem to accompany the life of a prophet. And in fact, Moses declared that God will send you a prophet like me. Do you understand my point? The man came as a prophet, bringing many sons to glory. That's what I'm trying to explain here. Bringing many sons to glory. There are different fields in life that the sons will manifest their own glory in different areas. There are sons who will turn out to be engineers, and they will know that since the days of let's just say Albert Einstein, there has been no scientist like this man. And that will be a manifestation of what? The glory of God. Now, as we go on, I know we're talking on power with God. I want us to understand something about this equality with God thing. That is, there is something in the year 2009 that God would be able to do if he came as a person and became a lawyer, as an example. I'm operated because, you see, he will come in, he's born in Nigeria, as an example, went to school in Nigeria, became a lawyer in Nigeria. So you see, this guy is being called to bar today. As he's going forward, the angels will say, behold the beloved son, in whom he is well pleased. Do you understand my point? All right? All you people, listen to him. But he's not going to go to church to preach. Do you get my point? He won't go to church to preach. You are going to find him drawing contracts, as an example, or going to court, or eventually maybe becomes a teacher of law. But whatever it is, in every sphere that you find him in that legal practice, you will notice that something about him is outstanding. And anybody who disagrees with him will discover that he's the one going down. And then he will say one day, and say, this one has been appointed for the rising and falling of many. And they will say, you know, those they used to say that there are a lot of Ogboni men amongst judges in Nigeria. And the man will say amongst them that the Ogboni man who's tired of living should please cross my path. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? That is, he's walking. Please listen to this. He's walking. It's not just about wisdom now. Listen, because we're talking about the demonstration of the power of God. He will discover the manifestation of God in his life. I'm bringing out something here. That Jesus didn't come just to become a superstar. He came to make superstars of everyone who will believe in him. Do you follow my point? That is this lawyer man we're talking about. He would look at it and say, the judicial system of Nigeria as it is right now is not good and we are going to change it. And once, now listen. Oh God, please listen to this. Jesus will look as a tree. Alright? And say, no one will eat from your fruit again. And it will wither and die. That's the manifestation of the Son of God. This man will go to a particular police station as an example. And say, I've heard that there's too much urukuruku in this station. He said, listen, nobody will come to work here again. And he just say it. And his younger lawyers will say, let us go. Don't mind this man. All right. And at night, next thing he hears, thunder, hurricane. He said, oh, there has never been a tornado in Nigeria. The first one will show up, go to that station, screw it. You know what they call them? Twisters. You know what they call tornadoes? Twisters. Twist the building out of the way and throw it into the Atlantic Ocean. You come there next day, you find an empty plot. And they will turn to him and say, sir, the police station that you cost has vanished. I don't know whether you're following what I'm trying to say. That listen, you know, that place, you know, yesterday you just said, he said, master. And then he would turn to the disciples. He said, oh boy, just have faith in God. And this is Jesus Christ, the lawyer. Do you get my point? And he's going. The businessman will look one day, maybe at a bank who's been doing too much orukuruku and he's tired. All these people are doing are not right. How can you be sending all these small girls out to go and be raising money from big allergies? It's not good. Say, no one will buy your stock again. Do you follow the point I'm making? You say it on a Friday. On a Saturday, one CBN governor will wake up and say, let's check all the books. They will check the book so fast, by Sunday they are finished. On Monday they are suspended from trading. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? And somebody will turn and say, sir, that bank which you cost has withered. And I say, guys, this life, just have faith in God. And that is Jesus Christ, the businessman, talking. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Let me tell you the truth. That is what God wants us to become. Let's read our John chapter 10. And I will explain something there. We said it the last time. There was something I said some time ago about the prodigal son. I like the New American Standard rendering there. You remember the story of that prodigal son? When he came back home, the father was very happy, so he declared a feast. And then the older brother came and said, you have never given me anything. And then the father explained to the older brother. He said, you see, it's good that we celebrate. He said, you I have with me always. He said, but this is your brother. He was dead. Now, this is where I'm going to. Most Bibles say, and has come back to life. But I like the way New American Standard says it. He said, he was dead, but now he has begun to live. Did you hear that? That this is your brother was dead, but now he has begun to what? To live. I have a few children in my house. The smallest one is a year and about 10 months or so, or 8 months, thereabout. Less than 2 years of age. I have thought about it. I have four of them, four kids. I can't say I love one more than the other, honestly. I'm not trying to sound spiritual, though. I have thought about it. I love all my children. Is that okay? But I can get home and tell Akindu, that's the one that came for Bible study, take my computer bag, take it upstairs. I can give him my wristwatch, all right? And say, take this wristwatch, go up to the room, and drop it in my drawer for me. I know how much my wristwatch costs. I don't want it to break. Are you getting my point? But I can trust him to do that. He's over 6 years of age. Do you understand my point? I can actually tell him, this is my car key. All right? Open it. Go into the car and bring this for me. And I know he will do it and I'm rested. I don't have any issues with that. I can tell him, go up, go on. No, like, okay, come, okay, take this plate to the kitchen for me and I feel okay. But you see that small bubble that is just that's less than 2 years of age? I won't let him, even to carry my shoe self, that one will be war. Because along the way, he might forget that this is shoe and put it in his mouth. You know that kind of thing. How much I'm telling him to hold something that is valuable and breakable. Of course, I won't try that. Are both of them my children? Yes. But you see, I can commit some certain responsibilities into the hand of the older one. And yet, more responsibilities as he grows older. A day will come, I'll toss him my keys and say, quickly, go down to so and so place. Go and meet this person. Collect this amount of money for me and bring it back home. And I will trust him to start the car, reverse out of the compound, drive somewhere, collect money, put in the car, and drive back home without any headache. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? We are all children of God. Amen? We are all sons of God. But this is the issue. They gave Peter and John and Co. small power. As they were going, so Jesus went to preach somewhere. They said, don't come here. Peter said, Jesus, move back. Let me call fire from heaven and burn all of them up. And Jesus said, yay. Peter, that was not the purpose. Just roasting everybody that annoys you. If that's how I did it, who will I minister to? But now everybody will be dead. Did you say another vex? No, you are getting my point. No, you know, they couldn't believe it. This Jesus that we are worshipping, that before our eyes he raised the dead, he's been helping people. You who drove him out of your town, you guys are not worthy to believe. Oh yeah? Dear Lord, look, please, we just give the word. We'll call fire from heaven and smoke them. Jesus had to say, oh, boys. No, it's not like that. You don't know the kind of spirit that you have. What am I trying to say? Now, they had not yet learned how to handle that degree of responsibility. Do you follow my point? That's why we're talking about power with God. What do I do that will allow God commit power into my hands? If you learn faith the time I did, the first impression we were given was that you can do virtually anything. You could just stand in the center of the road like this. Hey, tell the truck, stop there. Son of God wants to cross. Then you now walk slowly. That is, the whole world must come to a standstill because you believe. This is the interesting part. I think about it now. Do you know every single thing that was taught to us along those lines, they are correct. They are true. It's the application in our personal lives that now differ. Are you getting my point? That's where the problem is. A time will come that you will put your hand up. The driver won't see you. Yet, the truck will quench and come to a halt. Why? Because you saw the way the driver was driving. There are two children down the road about to cross. And you know the way trucks break. He can't stop before he knocks them down. So you say, stop there! And the driver will come to a halt. Not even, he will not have heard you. Do you get my point? His truck will just respond to your voice. Because now, notice, it's not because you feel cool, you want to cross the road. But now, because you're about to preserve lives, so you therefore released your power. And there was a preservation of lives. Now, you see the difference between Peter, who wants to burn up his city because somebody vexed him. But a day will come in which God will say, yeah, face that city, burn it up. Do you get my point? That day will come. And you learn and say, ah, a great man. That guy is so powerful. It's not just about the power. Listen, it's because the will of God has swallowed up his own will. So that the time that he wanted to pronounce judgment, that was exactly what God wanted done. Therefore, Elijah never prayed to God that there should not be any rain like his God. Should we say? He just declared, turn around, all right? And said, first, I have decided there will be no rain. Do you get my point? It's not as if God said to him, Elijah now said, God, please, should we say there should be rain or not be any rain? No. He was prophet over Israel. Listen, you know what God said to Moses? God said to Moses, yes. He said, look, you are going to meet Pharaoh. Listen, I have made you a god to him. And Aaron, your prophet. Oh God, please, did you hear what I said? That is, you have become Pharaoh's god. If you enter his house and say, trouble be upon this house, Opari. One calamity after the other. Brother will turn against brother. Pharaoh against his princes. Trouble will start. Because Moses went in and said, trouble be upon this home. Why? Because God said, I have made you a god to Pharaoh. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. But do you know 40 years before that, God no go try him. You make Moses a god to Pharaoh 40 years ago. Egypt has ended. Egypt has ended. This interesting part, he won't even know when he will burn Egypt and burn Goshen. No, that's how it is with children. When you give them power, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to handle it. What am I saying? If you, being human, like Jesus said, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, do you understand, will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now listen, the manifestation of divine power. Now listen to this. If you know how to handle the giving of good gifts to your children, how much more God? As much as you love your four-year-old, do you give him your car keys to drive? No. Do you think God will give you his heavenly car keys to drive while you are four? No! Therefore, all the things they told us then that faith could do, that we could accomplish for God on the earth, all right? They are not lying. They are true. With the power of God, yes, we can. Yes, we will uproot trees anyhow. You don't like a tree, you speak against, you go. But believe me, do you know why all the trees you have spoken against have not answered you? I'll tell you the simple reason. The simple reason. The number of reasons. One, you don't have the faith. Then secondly, God has not manifested his power in your life into that degree. Because the truth is that you can't handle it. If he gave you your money, his power, you will use it to recover your money. All those who are owing you, say, now I have come. How much is my money? 2.5. Square now, otherwise your leg no go work again. Do you understand my point? Until God knows that, look, if I give this one power, it won't spoil everything. He won't release it. He won't release it. He won't release it. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. Alright. Now please, but let's not forget the aim. What was God trying to do? Or what is he trying to do in our lives? Is to bring forth that manifestation of Jesus into every field of life. We'll see John chapter 10. I just want to explain some things again. Because you see, the Bible says that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. You know what that means? Anytime God wants to manifest to do anything on this earth, he has to do it through you and me. I've explained this thing again and again and again, but I can't stop saying it until we fully grasp it. If God wants to redeem a nation, do you follow? He redeems the nation through people like you and me. Are you getting the point? Listen, there is a part, oh God. Let me say something to you about God again to help you understand about this equality with God thing. One of my favorite doctrines I like to preach, especially because, you know, like Paul would say, nobody taught this one to me. I received this one by
by revelation of Jesus Christ.
One of my pet doctrines is this. That God, when you want to introduce him in the Old Testament, he'll say, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, this is the point that I can't remember him saying once, but I think there are one or two occurrences like that. But generally, you hardly hear, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You hardly hear it. What you hear is, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Three different gods in one. That is the original Trinity. The first Trinity that human beings heard of was that one. Before when Jacob was going to describe God, he said, "Were it not that God, the God of my grandfather Abraham, and the fear of Isaac was with me." Two different people was describing there. The God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, who now became the God of Jacob. Now, what does that mean? It means simply that when you see God from the life of Abraham, he looks different from when you look at him from the life of Isaac. In the life of Isaac, he was characterized by fear. That's why it was called the fear of Isaac. Everybody knew that Isaac couldn't defraud you because there's somebody who would flog him. His God was known, all right, because of how his reverence for that God shaped his life. So when you look at God, he appeared, in quote, in the life of Isaac, as somebody to be feared. Now, please, this thing I'm saying is very important. That there are different ramifications of God. That's what he was saying. I told you before that when Paul prayed this prayer in Philippians chapter 4, he said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Look at it. That was one expression Paul didn't use often. It was God whom I serve. It was, you know, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you hear most times. But that day he said, my God shall supply all your needs. Listen, that was not Peter's God that was going to supply all your needs. That was not James's God that was going to supply all your needs. I'm talking about my own God. I, Paul, my God shall supply all your needs. Listen, there's something unique about the manifestation of God in my life, and there are certain attributes of God you will find in my life that Peter won't be able to show you. In that particular context, that prayer concerning ministry, the blessing that was following Paul was different from the one that was following Peter. So when those guys supported his ministry, he said, listen, that's my own blessing I pour upon you. That's what he was saying. Please, I need to explain this thing for us to understand very well. That there is a God that you find in politics. Very different from the one you find in church. If I say this, it may amaze some people. There's a part of God that does not know how to forgive people. He carries a sword. He's called a consuming fire. Unfortunately, a lot of people, my wife and I were talking today, that as people go to certain churches, all they know is that terrible, in quote, part of God. All my enemies, all right now, Holy Ghost, you go curse. That's not all there is to God. You can't go to a church where all the people do is curse. Do you get my point? It's not good. You guys should repent. Alright? I'm not saying you should stop going to the church, but you guys should just repent. Do you follow my point? You should try. Just try. There's another part of God. Alright? That forgives people. That prays for the enemies. You know, Christians don't remember that one. We rain everything on the enemies. 72 dangerous demon prayers against wicked souls. We have all those kind of things. There is not, no, listen. I'm not wrong. There's just a different part of God. Sometimes I have a feeling that that's the kind of God that reigns in certain arenas of life. Believe me, it's the same God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But when he shows up in politics, sometimes I be like, say this once. This is, I need to use a sword against them. And it's very common when, like, if a nation has to make progress like Nigeria, God tends to bring out his sword.
Guard thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. There's a time that God puts his sword on his thigh and it comes out. And you start seeing terrible things happening. Look, listen, one day this man came and was preaching. Miles Monroe. And I felt very bad because the man he went to preach in his church. Let me say this openly. I won't mention the man's name. But the man did not understand that part of God. How many of you remember Hurricane Andrew?
Oh, yeah. All right.
Hurricanes have names, all right? That's how they name hurricanes, you know, give them names. You heard of the recent ones, Katrina, all those ones, all right? There was one many years ago. It was Andrew. That was, I think, in the early 90s, thereabout, all right? It hit the Caribbean islands and parts of America. And Miles Monroe came down to America to preach just as the hurricane was dying down. He was on the first flight that was allowed to leave the Bahamas. And he entered the church and said, that hurricane was from God. That certain things had to be cleansed. Now, he was preaching in a church that was based on this Our Word of Faith movement that knew only one part of God that says, this says God never causes trouble. He finished ministry. And the preacher, some of you might know the name if I know it, came up and began to correct the thing that he said. That God doesn't cause trouble. Hurricane doesn't come from God. That kind of thing. Ah! You see, by the time I heard that tape, all right? Now, they didn't show that man saying what he said. The videos I had was for the first night he arrived, and then the next morning when he was going to preach. So from the comments he was passing in the morning, you know, he was trying to balance things and apologize for causing confusion and trying to explain some things so people won't get too confused. And I suddenly deciphered from it that, oh, what happened was that when he finished, all right, this pastor went and, right, tried to correct everything that he said as if Miles Monroe was saying that God was the one that sent hurricane. Because I also learned the word of faith. I still listen to Ken Hagin. I told you I was listening to Ken Hagin yesterday. All right, I still listen to him a lot. All right, I mean, he blessed me a lot. I have all his books, well, as many books as I can lay my hands on, and I've read all of them. I've read all. I have many, many of them, but I've read all of them. All right, the general thinking in the word of faith movement that God doesn't cause trouble. Hurricanes doesn't come from God. He comes from the devil. Listen to me. It's not true. There are times that God blows. And who will not fear? And what are you saying? How can I tell them that God... You read the Bible. He does. Who is it that sent hornets after the people to drive those before the children of Israel? Think of Satan. Forget. It was God. So Miles Monroe explained then is that Hurricane Andrew, I remember it was Hurricane Andrew, that God sent it to cleanse some things. Go and read a prophetic vision for the 21st century, Rick Joyner. I think it was shortly after Andrew, but anyway, in the early 90s to mid 90s also, this was around 90, no, it was around 94, all right? There was an earthquake that devastated California. Go and read Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner will tell you that was divine judgment. When that earthquake was over, I remember very well, I watched then on CNN. One woman was interviewed. She said she's packing out, that she moved down to Los Angeles the year before, she and her husband. That in 1 year, they have gone through 4 calamities. It was a hurricane, there was bushfires, and there was that particular one now, the earthquake. I forgot the 4th one. She said, I'm leaving. And I remember the scripture that came to my mind. God said, and the earth vomited up the inhabitants. I said, this woman has just been vomited. Do you understand? Listen, the epicenter of that earthquake, according to Rick Joyner, was situated below where the main pornographic studios in California had productions had their studios. Don't tell me that God doesn't do bad things. He does. He does. He kills people. Believe me, he makes people starve to death. He afflicts people with diseases. He said, I will turn the heart of the Egyptian against that of his brother. God does it. Let's not make him look as if he's a weakling. He doesn't cause trouble. God is not Santa Claus. Do you get my point? He's not. He's not a genie that only knows how to do good. He's a genie that says he can't kill people. God?
The word angel of death is angel of death, not demon of death. Did you hear demon of death? No. The angel of death. It's a messenger of God. That's why the word is angel. What am I going to explain? There are different parts of God. There's a field of life God will send you into, and his own manifestation then are trouble. There was one winner's pastor those days. My friend told me that, you know what they used to call him? Kill and go. Kill and go. He used to pastor in the north. All this niceness, he doesn't understand. You rise against him, all of you are dead. He will speak. No, listen. His nickname was Kill and Go. God won't send him to Enugu. Where your enemies like to behead people. Ah. Now that kind of person, they go there. He will build his church in front of a mosque. Oh yeah now. It's that person that won't come and pray. God have mercy. Save. Lord, you will save them later. Right now. It will be, Lord, contend with those who contend with me. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. God, they are not kissing me. What's going on? That's another part of God. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? No, really. That's the way God is. When we're doing our spiritual economic empowerment and development strategy seminar, somebody said, what about unfair competition? If you remember. I said, number one, your competitor is not your enemy. That's number one. I'm selling rice. You are selling rice next door. We are partners in the same business. Together we should sell, we can sell better rice. Import cheaper rice. Grow better rice. Sell cheaper. Do you know, that's it. Then if your rice is finer than mine, I should go and look and say, see our neighbor's rice. It is shiny. Our own, they dull. What thing did they use? That's what competition does for you. It improves your, all right? Delivery, your skills. Someone now said, what about unfair competition? What about those who will go and hide and lie that, do you know why that man's rice is good? It's because they do jazz in the morning, they piss inside before they, you know, you heard those kind of jizz when you were young. So, you know why they're always selling that place? It's because that woman, she's a witch. She will wash her face into the plate, into the bowl in the morning when they're, we heard all kind of nonsense. You spread nonsense news about your adversary, your opponent. Fine. And I remember I said, that's when people will start discovering that our God does not only do good, he does evil also. If I am dealing with you with a clean heart, and you do that against me as my competitor, whether I talk or not, you will discover a side of God you wish you never knew. You will go to a jail that I might prosper. Your whole family goes sick, that you won't see money to buy rice again. It's one disease after the other you go to pay doctor for. Today operation, tomorrow radiotherapy. The following day they say, no, there's nothing wrong with them. They didn't need that operation. They use another operation to unwind the last operation. By the time you're through, you're wrecked. Why? Because you rose up and said, this man should not prosper. Believe me, that's another part of God. Oh, my time is up. Let me end my message. I didn't even get to where I wanted to get to. But anyway, I hope you learned something anyway. I hope you were blessed by the message. Where we are getting to anyway is this. That God wants to manifest his power through us. Are you getting my point? God wants people who will get up and declare. All those declarations that Jesus will do is on the boat and say, peace. And then the storm comes down. Had nothing to do with prophetic office. Are you getting my point? It was a manifestation of a man who was in distress. Do you get my point? You put my boat in Wahala. Prophet or not, I have to speak against it. As a child of God, maybe you're a teacher, you're a businessman, or you're a minister. There are times that storms will arise. And you want to pray and God say, get up, off your knees. You know what I told Moses? Why are you still crying out to me? What is that in your hand? You have a rod. Come on, handle the situation. There are times you will just have to, this is not a matter of like, we'll discuss that. Because you see, you first throw your will into God entirely. You first consecrate totally to God. I like one thing Bishop Oedipo used to quote from the mouth of Oswald J. Smith. He said, it's either Lord of all or is not Lord at all.
Are you getting my point?
There's a way you will consecrate yourself totally to God first, so that even when God asks for something, you won't know what to ask for. Then finally, he now pours his will, oh God, like a tangible substance into your heart. So next time issues come up, God will say, what do you want us to do? And whatever you say will become law. Are you getting my point? Listen, you will legislate for nations. Did you hear what I said? A day will come, maybe you're a banker or you're a businessman or something, you just look and say, who's the new CBN governor? Lord, I know his track record. Not here. One man will look and say, I know that man's track record. And I'm saying, Lord, not here. And God will say, if you say so, we have to remove it. Say, who do you want to replace him? I said, Lord, I have nobody in mind, but anybody's replacing must have these qualities, these qualities, these qualities. And the Lord said, fine, I'll find you one by tomorrow morning. By nine o'clock news, you hear that one CBN governor is gone. And on Monday, there's a new one. Why? Because one man, God will make sure that it's not more than 5'7" or 5'8", so that it's not, it doesn't wear expensive clothes, just one normal guy doing normal business. But having worked with God, he has reached a point of having power with God. So that one man will move nations. One man. One man. And that's what you are going to be. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Let's just worship him.